And you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau School District is returning over $1 million earmarked for childcare back to the city. The school board unanimously approved returning the funds following multiple delays since November as board members mulled over the future of after-school childcare in the district. The decision was made during a regular board meeting Tuesday night. Board member Melissa Colm says she supports returning the money and hopes to work with the city when the district has a clear plan for after-school childcare.
As much as I would like to hold on to that in hopes that we have a plan, I don't feel comfortable continuing to table it or hold on to it, hoping that we have a plan for after school care. And I would rather give it back and then preserve that relationship.
The district ended its program Rally last summer, citing staffing challenges. Private provider Auklake Preschool stepped in this school year to offer after school childcare at three schools. As of Wednesday, the provider is still in the process of getting licensed through the state, according to one of the owners. Board member Jenny Thomas says families have reached out to her with concerns about the current Rally program run by Auklake Preschool. She says the board should step in to provide support.
Whether we give the money back or not, we need to put our foot in the door to try to help make the program a little smoother.
During a phone call today, Thomas declined to elaborate on what those concerns are. The decision comes as YMCA Alaska is looking into the feasibility of running programs in the district. Nate Root, the organization's president and CEO, said in an interview on Wednesday that they're working with local organizations in Juneau to survey parents. He says YMCA Alaska wants to see if it's sustainable to offer after-school childcare in Juneau.
We understand the need for it right now. But for us to be able to expand our services to Juneau, which we're very interested in doing and helping the community, we need to know that there's a long-term stability to that initial investment.
Root says if they decide to run a program, they will also need to look for staff and opportunities to raise startup funds. And the Alaska Department of Transportation has faced intense scrutiny in recent months over its plan to build a new ferry terminal between Juneau and Haines. Now the agency is drawing fire from a panel of lawmakers charged with overseeing it. Members of the House Transportation Committee accused the agency this week of pursuing a project that stands to benefit private interests, but not ferry users themselves. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
Members of the House Transportation Committee slammed DOT officials on Tuesday during a fiery hearing focused on the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal project. The state, over the summer, signed a $28.5 million contract to kickstart the effort. It would entail building a ferry terminal roughly 30 miles farther north of Juneau than the current one in Auk Bay. The move ignited a wave of local opposition, including during a public comment period. Here's Rep. Louise Stutz of Kodiak during the hearing.
And you're talking about how important this is and what you think. Public comment. 622 comments came in. 92% of the people said, we don't want Cascade Point.
The pushback has largely centered around concerns that the new terminal would make regional travel less convenient and efficient, as opposed to more, like the state has argued. People have also argued the funds would be better spent on improving existing ferry service. Christopher Goins is DOT's South Coast Region Director. During the hearing, he acknowledged that the numbers Stutz cited are correct and that the project has sparked a lot of, quote, fear in the public. But Goins added that the agency is taking public feedback seriously. That includes by extending the original comment period and planning two additional rounds of public meetings in Haines, Skagway, and Juneau.
My staff is going to sit there and we are going to listen to what people have to say because we want them to be able to put that on the record that is fair and that is just. And I think this project of all the projects needs that process.
Goins acknowledged public concern over the state's decision to move forward with the initial contract before soliciting public feedback. Still, he says, the agency plans to go through the proper engineering, permitting, and consultation process. That answer didn't seem to satisfy lawmakers. Stutz among them.
You're talking about having all this public outreach, and we've got, what, $30 million invested?
Committee co-chair Ashley Carrick of Fairbanks echoed that point.
When you talk about there being controversy and welcoming the dialogue, it doesn't seem to jive with the fact that dollars are already dedicated towards this project.
Lawmakers also grilled Goins and DOT Commissioner Ryan Anderson over their concerns that the project stands to benefit private interests, but not the public. For starters, the new terminal is expected to benefit a Canadian mining company's proposed gold project, which would likely use Cascade Point as its logistical base. But the terminal would also serve as a boon to Goldbelt Native Corporation, which owns the land. Here's Carrick again.
It feels very strongly to me like what's really happening is Goldbelt is the primary beneficiary of a project that the state is going to utilize federal dollars to support.
Anderson, the DOT commissioner, emphasized the importance of the private sector to the state's economy and said working with industry can help promote economic development in Alaska.
And, you know, the welfare of Alaska, the extraction of resources, those are all what the statutes say, you know, DOT should be doing. So,
other lawmakers pressed agency officials over a controversial economic analysis of the project, the new terminal's overall cost, and whether it would actually generate significant savings for the state. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And the odds are good, but the goods are odd. It's a familiar joke in Alaska, and for some people trying to date here, it can feel painfully true. But with Valentine's Day this weekend, is there a way to swing the odds of finding that special someone in your favor? For our Alaska Survival Kit series, Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early set out to learn how Alaskans can increase their chances of finding a date and falling in love.
It's about 14 degrees outside Anchorage's Magnetic North Brewing Company, but the vibe is much warmer inside. It's about a dozen people meet for a singles night. Josiah Smith, a single guy from the Kenai Peninsula, was part of a small group near the front of the brewery. I caught him as he walked into a larger room where people were mingling. He came to meet people in person instead of using a dating app, which he says can feel like playing an awkward game.
You have to come up with something catchy, and I can't do it. And I don't want to. It's like, if I say hello back, and I say, how are you doing, and go from there.
Now, I haven't been single since I started dating my wife in 2019, but I've heard concerns like Josiah's from friends and colleagues. Dating in Alaska can be tough. So how do you make it easier? I spoke with experts and came back with four main takeaways. Josiah may not want to hear the first one. Don't snub the apps. That's from Marcia Shirak Olson. She's a communications professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage, who's worked as a professional matchmaker. And she says dating apps might actually be for you. She says if you're on the dating app looking for something real, chances are there are others too. She calls it the gross bar example.
You walk into kind of a dive bar and you're like, oh, it's kind of gross in here and everyone doesn't seem that great. But I'm here and I'm pretty cool. And if I'm here, then maybe there's someone else like me who's here.
Marcia says many of her friends over the past 10 to 15 years have met their partners through dating apps. But if you're going to use them, she says you should be specific about what you're looking for and be authentic. In other words, takeaway two, be yourself.
If you are not outdoorsy, like if the only time you've ever been fishing is the time that you have that one photo from, don't lean in that hard to that. Maybe disclose that this is my one fish.
But maybe you've been on the apps for a while and you really want to meet someone the old-fashioned way. That brings us to takeaway three, get out of the house. Marcia says socializing can mean going to singles events, but she says it can also mean just hanging out with your friends. It just has to be in public.
That opens up your social circle. That means you could potentially meet more people. That brings your potential partner in. It also develops you into an interesting person because now you have friends and interests.
Finding a date in a city like Anchorage with tens of thousands of residents is one thing, but finding one in a smaller community is another, says Anchorage-based relationship therapist Amber Vile. She's lived in Alaska a long time in communities big and small. More rural communities often have a much smaller dating pool, and it may be difficult to find the one. But Amber says you shouldn't let that stand in the way of making connections with people. So here's takeaway four. You can forget forever, for now.
I'm not sure I'm going to meet the person of my dreams. So can I pivot here and, like, have some fun? Can I just connect? Can I explore what it's like to, like, date a lot of different people or date nobody and date myself, right?
And if you're already in a relationship but want to keep the romance alive, I've got a bonus tip just for you. Amber says as relationships progress, couples can often get bogged down with lots of other things like careers, children, and the stresses of everyday life. She suggests couples do a Marriage Monday. Now, it doesn't have to be a Monday and you don't have to be married, but essentially it's time you've set specifically for you and your partner to come together, just the two of you.
You play, you mix it up, right? You take a class together, you read a book together, you're doing something that says, I'm turning towards you, you're all I see, I'm putting my phone down, I'm not working, let's go enjoy.
Right? Someone's watching the kids.
Yeah, get a babysitter, right?
Maybe that Marriage Monday can be on Valentine's Day. Personally, I'm going to try my hand at French cooking for my wife. Now, I've never made a sauce from scratch or seared a steak with peppercorns, but I'm hoping it'll be a nice restaurant-quality meal we can share at home. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Susan Carney highlighted efforts to reduce case backlogs and asked lawmakers to fund new judges and long-delayed courthouse maintenance during the annual State of the Judiciary address today. Carney pointed to a pair of December reports from the Anchorage Daily News, ProPublica, and Bethel Public Radio Station KYUK. They told the story of a man who spent 7 years in jail awaiting a trial for a murder he did not commit, and the victim's family's ongoing search for justice. Carney is also the judicial branch's chief administrator, and she says the reports remind the court system that it must remain committed to solving cases quickly and fairly.
I know that the cases with extreme delay are outliers compared to the vast majority of criminal cases and the time it takes to resolve them. But it's still heartbreaking to think of the anguish that victims suffer and the problems that delays cause to everybody involved in criminal cases.
But Carney says the court system has made significant progress. She says it's cleared a pandemic backlog with a number of open cases significantly below pre-pandemic levels. The Chief Justice also urged lawmakers to fund long-delayed maintenance. She says court facilities across the state are badly in need of repair, including an administrative building in Anchorage.
The building has a facade that's crumbling. It's barely keeping out the elements and the occasional vermin. On the facade, close to head height so that people passing by can see it, is a great big metal map of the state of Alaska. I'm sorry to tell you, Kodiak is no longer part of the state of Alaska.
Fortunately, Carney says that the Kodiak-shaped hunk of metal did not land on any passing pedestrians. But she said the episode underscores the dire need to repair and upgrade courthouses. Key lawmakers have said that despite a large deficit, they plan to prioritize school and state facility maintenance in this year's budget. This is KTOO.